You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca is unanswerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell.
And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift.
The reading reminds us that we should make peace with all that we know, and so that's what we're going to do. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer one another a sign of peace.
It was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
Challenge us. And I pray for Liu this evening that all the preparation, the thought and the work that he has put into what he is going to say this evening will be blessed by you. But Father, that they wouldn't be his words, they would be your words. And that they would speak to our hearts, to our minds. And that we would go away from this place this evening changed by what we hear. Amen.
Being angry is something that is natural to every living human through the past, present, and the future. It shouldn't be seen as an idiosyncrasy or an oddity which is only part of a select few, or a characteristic of the human temperament that only gets passed on through some bad gene within the family tree. Anger is innate and an intrinsic part of our behaviour, and the way we human beings on earth today live often hedonistic, self-indulgent lives. I strongly believe that the word anger itself gets a bad rap. From vexation to exasperation, irritation to indignation, outrage to road rage, the list of negative synonyms which describe anger is never-ending. But maybe one could consider the ways in which anger can be perceived as morally just or righteous. Perhaps we may be led to consider John 2, verses 13 to 25, Jesus' cleansing of the temple. Consider asking God to show you how you can use your anger at an injustice to fuel you to demonstrate his love. Thus, I postulate the question to you, is there such a thing as a healthy, positive form of anger? Aside from whether anger can be seen as good, there's a consensus that anger is more often than not wrong and unjust. When reading about and researching the topic of anger, I became slightly sidetracked and was led astray by the thought of where anger comes from and why there's such a thing as anger in the first place. Perhaps one could equate the creation of anger to St. Augustine's theory of original sin. It's a doctrine which suggests that the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden led to the fall of the angels, which subsequently means that every being from the moment of birth is born with an innate intention to do wrong and to be angry. Or simply put, our sin and the result of our angry and violent behaviour is due to the sin of Adam and Eve being passed down through the generations. although confusing for many, including myself. It interestingly links into my own perception of the human race, as well as the conflict of two opposing factors which dominates the existence of anger, as I will explain later. But before I explain, I thought it might be helpful for everyone to think of a time when you yourselves were angry. It may have been today, yesterday, a week ago, or even a year ago. It may have been in heavy traffic at home, with friends and other family members. For me, I will admit that I get angry quite easily. At home, with family, with large amounts of homework, or more generally with traffic. Perhaps our anger may lead to acts of violence and aggression. When thinking of such times of anger, maybe for many like me, you may remember the reasons for your anger, the cause of our anger. Much like the Augustinian approach to sin, we often contemplate and reflect on why we are led to a state of infuriation. Was it the traffic on the high street or the deafening sound of roadworks outside your house as you attempt to work? Samuel Longhorn Clemens, or better known to us as the great Mark Twain, once comically wrote, "When angry, count to four. When very angry, swear." This helps to establish a vivid picture of the typical human in our world today. We are so engulfed in a realm in which we are encompassed by thoughts of irritation, which then sparks our anger. Yet we rarely consider our often physically or verbally mean or negligent actions until we fully fathom its detrimental consequences. Thus, we are left with the enigmatic problem of cause versus consequence. To quote the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, "How much more grievous are the consequences of anger than the causes of it?" I think this powerful quote really helps us to understand the problem of anger. We focus on cause but forget about the consequences. Our Bible reading today from Matthew 5:21, verses 21 to 26, and other passages such as Psalm 4, are great examples of being calm, cool, collective, and not ranting, raving, and raging. It might be helpful to turn back to Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." This powerful extract taken from the Gospel of Matthew evocatively shows the almost frightening, terrifying and sinister image of an agonizing inferno. It is evident to those of us today that being angry does not mean we will end up in the fire of hell. But metaphorically, the passage helps to explain why wanting revenge for a wrong which has been asserted upon ourselves is immoral, a notion which is further foregrounded by the Aramaic phrase raka, to literally mean empty one or empty-headed. So is there a solution to anger? And how, as Christians, can we deal with the problem of anger? And what does the passage and the Bible advise us to do in such circumstances? Personally, I don't think there is a solution to being angry. As I mentioned earlier, righteous anger can be good. Anger at an injustice, angry at an act of wrongdoing, angry at those who promote barbarity. But it's what we should do when we are angry at others. Psychological thinking promotes the view of empathic intelligence, putting yourselves in their shoes. When verbally assaulting someone for accidentally breaking one of your prized possessions, put yourselves in their shoes. Is it right to assault them through means of words? Romans 12, verse 15 says, "Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep." One of the main lessons that I myself have learned from reading this passage is the idea of reconciliation. The word itself is so powerful and potent. Matthew verses 23 onwards describes what we should do when we are angry. It metaphorically illustrates how we should be reconciled before we offer up our gifts to God. We shouldn't seek revenge or hold a grudge against anyone. Yet instead, we should seek to forgive or to apologize. Reconciliation can be regarded as an element of salvation that refers to the result of atonement. Or perhaps it might be a bridge between the estrangement of humanity from God, one may argue. But more generally, reconciliation is the answer to the problem of anger. Love is at the center of biblical and Christian teaching. It's something that promotes philanthropy and charity. So, when angry, don't seek revenge. Prevent the consequences and put the causes behind you. Seek reconciliation and put love first. And most importantly, remember that the death of Christ upon the cross is neither futile nor inane. It was an act of redemption, an example of the love that God has for us. We may be a race of often angry and pleasure-seeking beings, but for every injustice, God's divine love is within us through thick and thin. I leave you with a quote from William Shakespeare's play, Richard II. I pardon him as God shall pardon me. Thank you.